In the name of Jesus, welcome. Welcome especially those of you who are newcomers and guests among us this day. God bless you with the peace, light, and love of Christ Jesus that we as people of Queen Anne Lutheran Church experience each time we gather in God's holy name. At this time, I invite you to rise in body or spirit for our gathering hymn. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. God has had mercy.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, you anointed your beloved Son to be priest and sovereign forever. Grant that all the people of the earth, now divided by the power of sin, may be united by the glorious and gentle rule of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading. To the community for whom this passage was written, it seemed as though the oppression they were experiencing would never end. Daniel's message is, "It shall end." The Ancient One, who is judge, will call all nations to account and will give dominion to one like a human being, the Messiah. A reading from the book of Daniel. As I watched, thrones were set in place, and an Ancient One took his throne. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and flowed out from his presence. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood attending him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. As I watched in the night visions, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kinship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. Word of God, word of life. This psalm is spoken responsibly by a half verse as given below. The Lord is king, robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength.
The Lord.
Ever since the war began, your throne has been established. The waters have lifted up, O Lord. The waters have lifted up their voice. The waters have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the sound of many waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea. Your testimonies are very sure. The book of Revelation begins by celebrating the Almighty God who spans all of time. Similarly, Jesus is celebrated as the firstborn from the dead who rules over the world's rulers. He is the one whose return we eagerly await. A reading from the book of Revelation. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and frees us from our sins by his blood, and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. "Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all the tribes of the earth will wail." So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We know that the church's year is drawing to a close when we get readings like the ones we got today. Both the reading from the prophet Daniel and the passage from John's Revelation point to the end times. And they do so in language we call apocalyptic, vivid, visionary, colorful, and highly poetic and symbolic. Both employ language and imagery rooted in our human experience, but that go well beyond our human experience. In Daniel, the language is of a king coming in clouds on a throne that has fiery wheels that signals the final judgment. And when my brother and I, when we were small, heard this passage, we thought of our Hot Wheels. In Revelation, the coming of the Son of Man in glory is visualized in terms of all kings and tribes and nations watching the spectacle of his coming in a cloud burst. Is any of this to be taken literally? No, that's not the nature of apocalyptic literature. The apocalyptic writers were the J.K. Rowlings of Harry Potter fame, or maybe the Hieronymus Bosches or Salvador Dalis of their day. We might say that they're closer to science fiction than to hard science. dystopian literature, surrealism. So, no literal meaning, no literal reading, but that doesn't mean that truth is not being conveyed in all the fantastic imagery, because it most certainly is. Both of those readings convey a most profound and pressing truth, namely, that the world as we know it will come to an end. This mixed bag, mixed up world of ours, this world of sin and selfishness, of laughter and tears, of injustice and freedom, of hunger and plenty, of hovels and high rises, cyclone bombs, atmospheric rivers, of angry volcanoes and serene sunsets, of war and peace, or however we choose to describe this world of ours, this world is going to come to an end. God's magnificent plan will one day be finally realized, and the whole human family will share in the victory of Christ, and creation itself will be set free from its labor pains and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. Now, if all of this doesn't get us thinking and stir our curiosity and awaken some emotions in us, well, maybe we're a little bit asleep at the wheel. Humans that we are, we're naturally curious. And we ought to want to know not only that these things will take place in one way or another, but when will they take place? Is the last day tomorrow? Or 10 years from now? Or 1,000? Or is it light years away? Will it happen in an instant? Or will it unfold over time? Or will we not even know, since time itself will have ceased? Well, the answer is, I don't know. We don't know. As we heard Jesus say in last week's gospel, of that day or hour, no one knows. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. My dear friends, such unknowing should not immobilize us or leave us feeling entirely impotent. In fact, let it fire the engines of our hope and deepen our longing and make us stand on our tiptoes, so to speak, and lean into it. Even though we Christians are to live our lives in the here and now, embracing each day, each moment as grace, as gift of God, our orientation should also be to what is to come, as we look beyond the now to what will be, to the culmination of the created order and the second coming of Christ. And that means that there's always going to be a certain amount of tension in our lives. Or there should be a tension between the now and what is to come. As someone once put it, we must not be so heavenly minded as to be no earthly good. But neither can we be so wedded to this world that we give little or no thought to what is to come. You know, I'm sure, that the last words of the entire Bible, the conclusion of the book of Revelation, are, "Come, Lord Jesus." These words were the frequent prayer, a kind of mantra of the earliest Christians, the expression of their constant awareness and their deepest longing. Let them be for us as well. Come, Lord Jesus. We get an echo of them every time we pray, "Your kingdom come," in the Lord's Prayer. And to that, we say yes. Amen. Say it with me. Come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Amen. God has made us children through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator.
Rooted in God's abundant love for the world, let us pray for our neighbors, the church, and all of creation. Revive our congregations, synods, and national church body to reflect the love, justice, and kinship of your kingdom. Raise up leaders who teach and serve your people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Nourish parched lands and bring relief to flooded places. Protect wildlife habitats and endangered species. Let the chorus of creation's praise resounds with joy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Draw near to those who are grieving, ill, or recovering. Empower us to reach out and care for them with your loving presence. Especially Lori Cornell, Grace Louie, my sister Sheila, Brian's dad, Joe, family of Cantor Kyle Haugen, Almaz Amari, Jan Olson's daughter Ruth, Lisa Claire's family upon the death of her mother Eunice, prayers of thanks also for the birth of their granddaughter Isabel, Denny, Pastor Dan, Wayne, Leah for healing and recovery, Angie and her daughter Jessica, James Cornett, Allie's friend Sarah. Jody Rutledge asks for prayers for Kurt, Lisa, and Malachi. Bill Kavanaugh for Samuel and Zion and their mother. Lisa Shade's husband Scott. Heidi's friend grandchild Beckett, who has a serious health diagnosis. Almaz's mother Awatesh and brother Muligeta. Matt Bellinger's mother Jeannie. Sally Wilson's great-nephew, Finley, Jean McLaughlin, Richard McNeese, Barb Gayotin, and Hildy Glore. Lord, in your mercy. Remind us of your enduring love in all seasons. Guide the planning efforts of worship leaders and volunteers who usher our congregation into a meaningful Advent, especially Dr. Lynn, Barb, Kyle, and Pastor Barrick. Lord, in your mercy. In your eternal presence, Daryl Haugen and all the saints sing in glory. Join our voices with theirs in praise to the one who loves us and gives us resurrection life. Lord, in your mercy. We offer our prayers to you, gracious God, trusting in your boundless love for all that you have made through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
And the peace of Christ be with you always. Please share a sign of that peace with your neighbor. Peace to you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who, sharing our life, lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to your own brilliant light. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of angels, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy Lord, God of power and might.
On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, broke it, gave thanks, and gave it to the disciples to eat, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given into death for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "Take, drink, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." knowing that we are loved, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, come and taste the joy of God.
Thank you.
Faithful God, you have spread before us a feast of rich food and drink in the body and blood of your Son. Now send us out to labor with you in service to the world you have made and among the people you have made your home. In Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Again, welcome to all, and especially guests and newcomers with us this morning. We pray that your Thanksgiving celebrations, if you're gathering with family, friends, or loved ones, that be a time of refreshment and gratitude, and especially safe travel. So come, go, come, and then come back, okay? And if you have any leftovers, candy, please.
It's November. That means it's time for thank offerings. They're outside. They're not in your pew this year. They're outside where you sign your name tag and that type of thing. Anyone may support the women. It doesn't have to be only the women. Anyone who feels that the things that the women of the ELCA do is important may support them. Pick up an envelope, put money into it. The counters really like for you to write your envelope number on the back. They don't like to have to look up numbers, but they will. So just do that. And by the way, it says also in your bulletin that we're still collecting for quilts and kits, but the in-gathering was not yesterday, no matter what the bulletin says. The in-gathering was at the beginning of the month. So thank offering, in-gathering, quilts. Thank you.
Thanks, Candy. Some of you have inquired about my car that died a couple of Sundays ago, and as my grandpa would say, it's kaput. Friday, I received the estimate. They want to replace the entire engine at the low price of $19,000. So it's a 12-year-old car. I can't do that. It wasn't in my plans either to look for a new car, but I appreciate that the church right now is providing me with a rental that happened last week. So thank you for that, and it'll get me through the next couple of weeks. And if you haven't heard, I'll be with you now an additional 2 weeks. I'll be with you through December 15th. So I'm grateful for an additional time of service among you. I truly have enjoyed it and loved it, and certainly welcome more time with you. So thank you for that. I was not planning on making home visits in this short Thanksgiving week. People are already beginning to travel, but I will have a new sign-up sheet next Sunday. The calendars are kind of in the juggling mode right now, so bear with me, and then please sign up as you're able. Also, plan ahead for our Advent time together. We will have additional opportunities to gather and contemplate the Lord's coming on Wednesdays at noon. I believe we'll be gathering in the chapel, but if you're able to participate, the more the merrier, certainly. I hope you'll experience this week, but you know how some people show their love through food, right? And you might guess I'm a loving recipient of that kind of love, but some people show their love through music, and I get that. And as I announced last week, Kyle's father died last Sunday, and yesterday morning, Kyle played for his father's funeral service at Lutheran Church Zion in Tacoma, and he's here with us already today. So thank you, Kyle, for being here, for leading the choir and leading our praise of God and his son who's coming is near. So thank you. We will accompany you in the days ahead, and if there's anything we can do, prayerfully or otherwise, we certainly shall. Please rise as you're able for the blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.